Well, hey, welcome to Black Hawk Church. It is so good to be with you. My name is Joel. This is Olivia and Kyle. We are excited as we gather together to get the chance to worship our King and our God. So in the room, let me invite you to stand with us. If you're joining us online, I invite you to sing out as we worship our King together. So this is one we've introduced in the last few weeks. I want to invite you to dive in as you get the hang of it. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I'll stand. Everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. Let's lift this up together. This is our story, a God who meets us in the midst of whatever we're going into. So I want to just invite you, let's sing this out together. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. Through. God, we're thankful today that you are a rock we can stand on. God, we're thankful that you have proven time and time again, generation after generation, that you can be trusted. You are a faithful God. We claim today that we can anchor ourselves in the foundation of who you are. When it feels like the world around us is swirling and so much is uncertain, when it feels like circumstances in our own lives or in our news just shake things up. And God, we don't know where to look. We're thankful that we can anchor our trust and our hope in a God who is faithful. Would you teach us what it looks like to live that way? I know that's easy to say. It's easy to even pray that. God, it's hard to do. Would you teach us what it means to follow you, to trust you, to know that you are our foundation? We want to give you all the glory. God, would you do a work in our hearts as we continue in worship today in the service? May all that we do point to you. Move by the power of your Spirit in us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Everyone said together, amen. Well, in here, why don't you go ahead and grab your seats. Fifth and sixth graders, stay put, actually. Chris will dismiss you in just a minute, but we're going to have you in here for this next part. We think you'll like that. So hang with us, and let's check out what's happening for this week.
Hey there, my name is Rachel, and we're so excited to have you with us today. I want to share with you some upcoming opportunities at Blackhawk that you can be part of. Baptism can be one of the most powerful experiences you can have in your journey of following Christ. On Sunday, February 19th, everyone is invited to join us as we celebrate baptism together. We'll hear testimonies of the life-changing work Jesus has done in our community, spend time in worship together, and celebrate with those who are taking this step. Are you interested in learning what it's like to work in ministry? If you're interested in exploring ministry as a vocation, consider Blackhawk's internship program. We're currently accepting applications for the summer of 2023 with opportunities in a variety of ministries. Internships go from late May to early August. Apply online by Wednesday, February 15th. Beginning next Monday, February 13th, we are hosting an 8-week men's book study on Surfing for God by Michael John Cusick. This practical, biblical, and hope-filled study will help men discover the divine desire beneath the sexual struggles they often face. Registration is required, and you can find all the details on the groups page of our website. To find out more about any of these events, visit our website or visit the information desk at your site. I am Rachel, and this has been What's Happening for February 5th, 2023.
All right, good morning. My name is Chris. Good to be with you all this morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome. Hey, we are so glad that you're worshiping with us, everyone worshiping with us online as well. Thankful for some warmer temperatures here in Madison and some nicer weather. It's good to be with you all. If you are relatively new to Blackhawk Church, maybe you just moved to start at Epic or somewhere else, or you've been coming for a few months but aren't yet feeling like you're connected, you just maybe have questions, we'd love to meet you afterwards. So come talk to me. I'll be up front. We always love to pray for people as well, or head to the info desk, and we'd love to answer any questions that you might have and just connect with you. If you're watching online and you're checking us out for the first time, you're joining us for worship today, head to our website, blackhawk.church, and you go to the I'm New tab, and you can find more information and reach out there as well. Well, one of the things coming up in a couple weeks that we are really excited about, we do a few of these a year, is our baptism service. It's coming up on Sunday the 19th. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here at Brader Way, so come check that out. I'll talk about that more in just a second. But the last baptism service in particular, we had a ton of our students being baptized. It was so cool to see and hear many of their stories. So for a little glimpse of that, check this out.
I go to middle school ministries, and I found that like a lot of people my age also believe in God. So that really like inspired me to just be like closer to him.
I was born to a Christian family and have always sort of known Jesus. And as I've gotten older and read more of the Bible and learned more about God through community groups, I have placed my faith in Jesus and want to publicly share.
It wasn't until a couple weeks ago, I think last week actually, It was where Pastor Chris Kopp, he said, even when you fall, God's got you. He's always in control. Like, I've heard that before, but I don't know. This time, something just kind of, like, clicked.
I want people to know how much I love Jesus, about how my experience with Jesus has impacted my life, and that they can have that gift, too.
Now, I want to live in a way that shows that I am a follower of Jesus, and no matter what, I trust that God loves me because I am His, not because of what I do.
I know that God loves me. My family helped me with that. They just helped me explain more about what God has done for me and what He has done for everyone.
I want to get baptized because to me it's like saying to God, I am giving you my heart and like letting you in.
I really want to get baptized because I see how God is like impacting my life right now, and I just want to be as close to Him as I can.
That's why I decided I wanted to get baptized and show that I'm a Christ follower, not just saying it, or like anything like that, just actually like doing it.
Oliver, because of your faith in Jesus, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ. Raised to walk in newness of life.
Because of Jesus, His love for you and your trust in Him, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ. And raised to walk in the earth. Buried with Christ. And raised to walk in the earth. In life, and you've chosen to follow. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ. And raised to walk in the
earth. Awesome. I love that. Yeah, praise God. So listen, if you're feeling encouraged right now, that was like 2 minutes of stories. When you come to these baptism services, it's just an incredible opportunity to hear 14 or 15 different people being baptized in a couple Sundays from now. Hearing all of their stories, we literally get to sit there for like 35 minutes after worshiping through music and just get to hear about how God has been at work in people's lives. It's an incredible time to be together as a church. So I want to encourage you, especially if you've never been to one of these before, come join us on February 19th. It's at 4 o'clock. So you could come with your community group, with people in your Bible study, or just a friend or a neighbor or whatever it is. Grab dinner afterward, make kind of a night out of it. It's just a really fun opportunity to be able to hear about how God has been at work and transforming lives in the lives of those here at Blackhawk Church, both young, like you just saw, and old, seeing all the different ways that God is moving here. So I encourage you to check that out. A lot of our students are at snow camp right now, so if you think of it, you can be praying for them and for a safe return home, but loved getting to hear those stories. All right, we're going to continue and hand things off to Michael in just a second. 56ers, thanks so much for sticking around a little bit longer. You guys are dismissed. You can head out to the atrium. And as they're leaving, I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Michael in just a second. We're continuing in our Live This Book series. We're kind of in this part of the series that's some hard stuff, right? We're digging into hard topic after hard topic, and this is another one. But thanks for continuing to press in with us. God, we're hearing stories every single week lately of how God is moving people and convicting people and again, changing and transforming lives. So let's come with expectation that He's going to do that once again this morning. All right, with that, let's hand it over to Michael.
All right, well, it's so good to be with everyone today, and I actually want to just start really quick with a question for everyone. Ready? Ready for this question? I literally can say anything right now. Have you ever played, or do you remember ever playing the game I Spy? Remember that game, I Spy? Some of you might be thinking, yeah, I think I remember that game, and some of you might be thinking, I don't know. And some of you are like, remember, I actually play with my kids right now, or my grandkids, or like whoever. Okay, so I don't know how familiar you are with I Spy, but this is how it kind of goes, okay? So the leader of I Spy says this phrase, I spy with my little eye something, and then they describe the thing that they're spying. And it's typically something that like everyone can see, but they might not be aware of. And then the people playing will try to guess, okay, I think you're saying this, or I think you're seeing this. And then finally, when someone guesses what they're spying, the person wins, and then they're the leader of the next round. I spy with my little eye. It's a really fun game. In fact, if you know the game or not, we're actually going to play right now, okay? We're going to play I Spy, and I know what you're thinking. Oh, my goodness, yes. I came to church, and we're playing games. You're right. This is fun. We're going to have fun, okay? If you're on the podcast, this is not fun for you. It might be fun, but you can't see. So you can either come back to this part of the message or just try to imagine. Okay, ready? I Spy. I'm the leader. So I Spy with my little eye, something black. Any guesses? Any guesses? It's not the TV. It's not the stand. Any guesses? It's not the light. No, it's not the micro. It's my black sweatshirt. You got it. There you go. Congratulations. You win. This was kind of a lame round because it's literally the thing that most people can see. In fact, here's a pro tip for iSpy. Pro tip right now. I Spy is about focusing on something that people typically don't focus on. I did a bad job. Round two. Okay, let's go round two. I Spy. I'm going to focus on something that people don't focus on. I Spy with my little eye something white. Any guesses? Guitar? No, it's not the guitar. Not the piano. That's a good guess. No, it's not. It's not the little words right there. It's not the screen. It's my fingernail tips. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Like, what are you talking about? But that's I Spy. Like, I got you, okay? I'm not the person when I'm having a conversation with someone like, hey, what did you eat for lunch? And I'm just like super focusing on their fingernails. Like, man, that's a good manicure. No, I'm not that person. Maybe you are, but I'm not. That's I Spy, the game that focuses on things that people typically don't focus on. And this is really important for kids because it's great with a lot of like cognitive development stuff. It teaches them to like seek things out, to be aware of stuff that's in front of them. I Spy with my little eye. There you go. That was so fun. Okay, I need to welcome everyone right now. So we just jumped in with the game. I want to welcome everyone in this room. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome everyone online. Go ahead and light up that chat. If you're on a podcast, we're so glad you're here. I don't know if you're driving, cooking, cleaning. I don't know what you're doing, but glad you're tuning in. Hey, Gospel Fusion, what's up? We're so glad that you're here right now. Traditions, Chinese, Fitchburg, what's up? Downtown, where are my people at? Can I hear you make some noise? Great. Okay, to the Spanish-speaking folks, bienvenidos a Blackhawk. My name is Michael, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Blackhawk Church. And today, we are talking about justice. Justice. Now, some of you might be thinking, why? Like, really? Justice? Come on, Blackhawk, what are you doing? Well, because justice is really, really important to God. We've been going through this series called Live This Book, and in this series, we've learned that God has chosen a people to draw a rebellious people to him, to show people his character. And according to the Old Testament, the number one way that people can show God's character is through justice. Number one way, justice. Think of it this way. So God created humanity at the beginning of the Bible. He created human beings. You and me were his children, and we're created in his image, this God who cares about justice. And the moment someone who's created in God's image experiences an injustice, oppression, exploitation, poverty, you name it, the list goes on. The moment they experience that, it's the moment that their ability to image God decreases. There's limitations on their ability to live in that image that they were created to live in. Therefore, God's people need to be people who are all about justice. Not only advocating for justice for themselves, but advocating for justice for other people to restore the image of God in people. God is all about justice. The Bible is all about justice. You can't read the Bible without seeing it. And according to God, if his people aren't all about justice, then they no longer need to be his people because they're not living out the number one thing that God is calling them to live out, his character. But here's the reality. I know that when I said the word justice, there was a lot of different things that came to different minds, because today the word justice, it can mean a lot of different things. A lot of different things. I'm sure that when you heard me say we're going to be teaching on justice, you were like, can we skip this week? Like this is a heavy topic. I don't know if I want to honestly like sit here and listen to this. And some of you might have been thinking like, all right, it's about time. Like, I've been waiting for us to talk about justice. And other people, honestly, you're sitting here right now, you're like, I'm tired. Like, my coffee hasn't kicked in right now. And honestly, I just want to come to church and I don't want to have to do something when I'm done. I just want to sit down. I want to focus on God. And if that's you and wherever you're at, I honestly want to say, I get it. I get it. Today, the word justice can mean so many different things to so many different people. The word justice is complex. The word justice, it demands a lot from us. It can be overwhelming. The word justice can be divisive. The word justice has become highly politicized. Justice is a hard word, but if we're God's people, then we have to move towards it. We have to move towards justice. So I just want to humbly ask wherever you're coming today with the word justice, whatever you think about the word justice, I want to ask you to just hang that definition up, honestly, if you could. And I want to invite everyone to listen to how the Bible defines justice. What is biblical justice, and how can that change our lives? So in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for justice that's used most often is mishpat. Mishpat. Now, mishpat, while it can mean like a retributive justice, like if you do the crime, you got to pay the time. Like, it can mean that, but more often than not, it means like something to restore. It's this restorative justice. A pastor at Blackhawk Church, who used to be a pastor, Tim Mackey, he works for the Bible Project now, created it, works for it. This is how Tim Mackey defines mishpat, restorative justice. He said it's about seeking people out who are disadvantaged, to advocate for the vulnerable, and to change social structures to prevent further injustice. Often when people are sharing about justice, they'll share a story that's kind of like this, different versions of the story. Okay, so there are these two people, they're having a picnic by a river. It was this beautiful, warm, sunny day. Not like today. You might die if you're having a picnic outside today. It's Midwest February, even though it's kind of a heat wave right now. It's like 30, crazy. But it's sunny, it's warm, it's beautiful. River, they're eating this picnic, and then all of a sudden they notice something just kind of floating down the river. And they're like, what is that? Oh my gosh. They look, and they're like, that's a person. There's a person floating down the river. We got to do something about this. So they jump into the river. They scoop the person up. They bring them to the dry ground. And then they just tend to their wounds. They're like, that was weird. They go back to eating their picnic. And then they notice coming down the river, another person floating. And they're wounded. And then another person and another person. So they're like, what's going on? They jump in, they scoop the person up, they start to tend to their wounds. They jump in, scoop up. They keep doing this down the river. People keep floating until one of them finally says, okay, what's going on up the river that's causing all of these people to be wounded floating down the river? We got to go up there, see what's going on, and we got to do something about it. That is justice. You see, the merciful and compassionate thing to do is to go into the river and scoop the person up and to help tend to their wounds. That's a good thing. But justice is when we go up the river and we seek and learn about what's happening and then try to do something about it. That's justice, going to the cause. But therein lies the trouble, the hardships, because when you go up there, first you gotta seek, and then you gotta pack up your picnic, and you gotta go up the river, and you don't know what that journey's gonna look like. But then when you get there, man, you can find all sorts of things. It can be messy. It can be complex. You can find a whole factory that's causing people to be hurt, wounded, floating down the river. And not only that, if you want to do something about it, it's going to cost you. It can cost you your reputation, your time. It can cost you friendships, money. Doing something about it can even cost you your job. Man, justice is overwhelming. But still, God calls us to it. This is what the prophet Isaiah says about justice. He says, "Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." Isaiah is telling the Israelites that they are to be people who are constantly seeking people out who are disadvantaged, to advocate for the vulnerable, and to change social structures to prevent further injustice. Essentially, it's all about being people who focus on those who aren't focused on. Being a person of justice, it means to go throughout your day with an I spy with my little eye mindset. It means to constantly look up the river, see what's going on, and to try to do something about it. I spy with my little eye. And the moment we decide we don't want to live that way, the moment we're like, no, I don't want to spy. I don't want to focus on the things that I don't typically focus on. Well, that's the moment that we're missing the mark on what God has called and created us to live by. And I want to talk about that, okay? Because God, he is a God about justice. He's all about justice. In fact, Deuteronomy says this about God and justice. It says, "He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just, a faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." Now in this series, Live This Book, a lot of the different talks that we've been going through this timeline, and it's a timeline of the progression of just kind of the story of God that you can find in the Bible, kind of from Genesis to Revelation. And we've been going through this timeline and taking different topics and seeing how each topic is woven throughout this timeline. And I want to do just that with this topic of justice. So that's what we're going to do. God's plan for humanity. This just God, like I said earlier, he creates human beings. He creates you. He creates me in his image. And he says that we are to care for creation and we are to care for each other. We are to move towards each other with the dignity and respect that everyone deserves because everyone is created in the image of God. That's God's plan for humanity, but humanity had a different plan. You see, instead of obeying God, humanity decided that they wanted to come up with what's good and evil. The humans rebel. And in this process of humans coming up with what's good and what's evil, they often did it to the advantage of themselves, even when it came at the disadvantage of others. And all sorts of injustices happen because of that. I spy with my little eye chaos. But then God did something about it. God, he chose a people. God chose Abraham and his descendants, the Israelites, and he's like, I want you guys to be about righteousness. I want all of you to be about justice. And they're like, we will, God. We are going to follow you. And they did until, as you know in the Bible, they were exiled into Egypt for about 400 years. There were slaves in Egypt. I spy with my little eye injustice. But then God delivered them. And then they were able to wander in the wilderness until they entered into the promised land that God had for them. And then God said, hey, listen, you've been through a lot, but I want you to be people of justice. I want you to live in just ways, but they just couldn't do that. I spy with my little eye struggle. So God saw that, and then God gave them judges. But that didn't work. So God gave them kings, but that didn't work. God gave them prophets, But that didn't work. They didn't listen. I spy with my little eye rebellion. God's people rebelled. They didn't take care of the orphan and the widow. They didn't move towards each other with dignity. So God did something. God did something that no one was expecting God to do. He sent himself. Jesus, the King, came. Now, do you know what's really interesting about this? So I don't know if you're familiar with this passage in the Bible, but it's really significant. You see, when Jesus came and he is just about to make his ministry public, okay, Jesus, picture this. He's about to make his ministry public. You think that the words he's going to say are really important, right? like this is like your thesis statement, Jesus. This is you, like, this is your premiere moment. This is what you are all about. It's like, this is going to be written in the Bible, Jesus. People are going to read this, Jesus. Billions and billions and billions of people, generations and generations and generations, they're going to read what you say. So what does Jesus say? What is Jesus's like opening statement for his ministry? This is what Jesus says. He, in the Gospel of Luke, he quotes Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." And Jesus literally, I mean, think about this. He literally could have said anything. He's God. Sky's the limits. But what does Jesus say? He talks about justice. Now, this is Jesus. Like, we can't skip that. This is important. This is what Jesus is saying, justice. Because here's the reality. Jesus, he looked up the river to see what was going on with humanity. He saw it. And then he did something about it. He died. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for all the sins that I've done, all the sins that you've done, all the sins that humanity has done. And then he defeated death. Jesus rose again and saved us. I spy with my little eye a savior. And then the timeline goes that Jesus, he gave his people the Holy Spirit. The church became empowered. And that meant that the Holy Spirit is now helping, partnering with humanity so that we can be a people who live all about justice. And here's the deal. When we do that, when we live for justice, then other people can't help but look at us and say, "Oh man, they're different. I want that. I want that. I want what they have." And that's what it means to accomplish God's mission. That's what it means to live by his mission. Now, I want to be just super honest with all of you. That's really hard. Being a person who, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but being a person who like looks up the river and says like, "Okay, I spy with my little eye. I'm going to focus on something that I don't typically focus on." That's super challenging. That's why I Spy, if you've ever played that game before, or like you have a kid and you're going through one of the I Spy books, it's super overwhelming because there's so many things that you can see and do. It can be really overwhelming to spy. Like, I don't focus on things that I don't focus on, but I'm called to do that now. Like, what? What would it look like right now if everyone listening in this moment, everyone spied with our eyes, okay? Like in this moment right now, what would it look like if we all focused on things that we don't typically focus on? I spy with my little eye a black sweatshirt. We already talked about this black sweatshirt. We spied this earlier today. But when I was told that, "Hey, Michael, we want you to do a talk on justice," I started to kind of like comb through my life and see how I lived and if anything that I'm like involved in, like I just, if they have a just past in history. So I started to research a lot of the shirts that I purchase. We all have shirts. You have shirts in your closets, dressers. I do too. And I was searching and I was actually kind of shocked at what I found. I found that a lot of my shirts, to my knowledge, not this one, but a lot of my shirts, there weren't fair wages given to the people who created these shirts, who made these shirts. But I wanted an inexpensive shirt. Like, I wanted shirts that looked good. I wanted to stuff my closets, my dresser with them. I spy with my little eye. But here's the reality. Like, I'm just one person. I'm living in this globally interconnected, like, economic society. And there's so many organizations that literally spend millions and millions of dollars to not only hide injustices, but to really build society off of them. There's a lot going on up the river, a lot. And I personally, and you personally, probably you're not going to be able to do everything to right every injustice. That's overwhelming. But that's not the point that I'm trying to make right now, Blackhawk. That's not the point. Right now in this moment, what I'm saying is, what would it look like if we just opened our eyes? If we were to be people who seek to spy with our little eyes. Now, I want to be even more honest with all of you. That's hard for me, personally. And I'm going to go there because it's the truth. I'm a white, educated, middle-class American man. I own a car, I own a house. In a lot of ways, I'm not floating down the river. I'm having a picnic by the river. Because the society that I live in was really, honestly, built for people like me to succeed. But that's not the truth for everyone listening right now. I know that right now there are people listening who were born and raised in a different country, and you and your family, you experienced different hardships, different injustices. Maybe you don't now, but maybe you and your family, maybe you do. I know that there are people listening who are people of color. And when you look back at your life, or even like right now, it's hard to see anything but injustice. You don't feel like you're having a picnic by the river in many ways and in many reasons. You feel like you're floating down the river. Because the society that you live in wasn't really built to help you succeed. There are people listening to this. You don't have enough money to survive. You're surprised that you've made it this far. You don't know what next week is going to look like. You don't know what next year is going to look like. There are people listening to this right now, man, you don't have adequate housing. You're listening to this right now and you're visually impaired or you're hearing impaired. You have cancer. Something's happened to your health. You're listening to this and man, just walking is difficult for you. And if you're honest, the society that you live in was not built to help you just function at just a basic level. I can go on and on and on. There are so many injustices when we open our eyes to them, but still, no matter where you're at, no matter what your experiences has been or is, this is what the Bible still says for us to do. It says, learn to do right, seek justice. It's not just when you're walking and you see this huge building on fire to go and do something about it. It's not if you're just walking around and there's something really big in front of you, like that's screaming injustice for you to be like, oh, I wonder if I should do something. No, seek. It's saying, get your magnifying glass out. Turn over these rocks. Look for injustices. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And this isn't something that God is just saying followers of him should try to do, but rather you know you're a follower when you do this. James says this, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. When we become, I spy with my little eye people, when we look up the river to see what's really going on, when we focus on things that we typically don't focus on, we're going to be overwhelmed. It's a lot of stuff. We're going to start to notice things going on up the river that are keeping Madison from being as it is in heaven or wherever you're at. And because of that, for the rest of my time today, I talked about what it looks like to seek, but I want to talk about what it looks like to do, okay? And I want to start by saying we're not meant to do this by ourselves. We're just not. If you think you are, well, think of it this way. Okay, so the Super Bowl is next week, right? Everyone's like, the Packers aren't in it, so I literally don't care. I'm following the Bucks now. No, the Super Bowl is next week, and if you're like me, you're in it for the commercials, okay, people? But anyway, so think of a football player. What is a football player's mission? To win the game. The football player wants to win the game. So if a football player's mission is to win the game, do you think they will be successful if they are facing a team all by themselves? I mean, think about it. Here's this football player. I'm a football player. I'm doing it by myself. This is my mission. All by myself. Gets this overwhelming team. I hike it to myself. I catch it. I throw it to myself. I'm dodging and weaving people. I catch it. And I know what you're thinking. This guy is skilled at football. Like, I'm convinced we're going to draft him. No. What's going to happen? I'm going to fail. Hands down, it's not going to work out. But when I come around a team, different people with different gifts and different talents form together. You got coaches, quarterbacks, linebackers, wide receivers. You have kickers, managers, physical therapists, people with different skills coming together for one focus, for one mission. That's a game changer. And the same is true for us on our mishpat mission. Romans says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that God has given each of us." Are you a hand or a foot? Are you a mouth? Or like an elbow? I don't know. A body is not just one part. It's a collection of every part coming together for one mission. That's how we look up the river and do it. And some of you might be listening to me and you might be thinking, yeah, I hear you. I read that. But I feel like one of those lesser body parts. You know, I feel like I don't have much to give. I hear you. I remember a time when I graduated undergrad a long time ago. I had a lot of debt, didn't know what I was gonna do for the rest of my life, so I moved back home to try to figure it out. It was an intense season, but not just because that season can kind of be intense for people, but my family was really going through a lot of hard stuff. And that was just kind of the story that I was used to, the narrative that I was used to. My family really, really struggled to love each other. And when I moved back home after college, it was like at an extreme. It was boiling over. I have a good relationship with my family now. We're doing great. Love them. At that time, it was tough. I had to move out. I packed my bags. I had no job, crippling debt. I was so vulnerable. And then my pastor and his wife at the church I went to before, and I came back after undergrad, they saw me, and they said, "Michael, we have an extra room. Our son, your friend, he's off in college. Will you move in with us?" Yeah, like obviously I'm gonna move in. And I moved in and it was really, really awesome. I was so thankful. But then their son got cancer. And all cancer, you know, is serious, but this one was easier to treat, but there was a catch. Their son needed to move back home into his room. And I knew what that meant. Strike two. I'm at another house. I was getting ready to pack my things. I remember my pastor and his wife, they're like, "Hey, come talk with us." I was sitting at the dining room table and the conversation was happening. They're like, "Hey, Michael, you know that our family has not been through anything like this before. It's really difficult for us. It's challenging. We don't know what to do. Our son has cancer. This is hard. And you know he's moving back into his room." Took a deep breath. I'm like, "Okay, here it comes." And they said, "Will you stay with us?" What? They said, "We have a bed we want to roll up and put in that room. Will you stay with us?" And I remember saying, "What are you talking about? Are you serious?" And then I asked him, like, my friend, are you serious? And they're all, yeah, we're serious. You're family to us now, and we want you to stay. I had nowhere else to go. I was at my bottom, so I said, yeah, I'll stay. And I want you to hear me when I say this. I had never really experienced what a loving family looks like. If you have that experience, or if you're in that right now, you know what that's like. It's hard. But for me to sit front row seat to a family that wasn't perfect, but loved each other, that changed everything. I was grown up, raised in injustices around love, and now I got to be restored. And that kicked off a series of different events for me and decisions that I would make because of that love. And I'm standing here today because of that. Because of that decision, I'm here. They didn't have much. They saw me. They moved towards me. Didn't have much. A lot was going on, but they had a room. What do you have? What do you have? I know you don't have much. I know that there is a lot going on right now. But do you have a room? Do you have extra finances? $5, $10. Are you good at something? Do you have a skill? What would it look like to use that gift that God has given you to move towards people? And I don't know, maybe you're gifted at technology or sewing or a craft or like carpentry or something like that. What would it look like for you to use that gift and move towards people who need justice in their lives? Maybe it's volunteering somewhere. Maybe you're a person who has particular resources or particular power in your organization. And moving towards someone means moving towards someone who has a different experience than you, and bringing justice to their life is giving them a seat at your table, even if it can mean your seat. Maybe you need to go to blackhawk.church and see what our impact ministry is doing, or different local nonprofits in your area, and join in the effort. Start volunteering with them. See what they're doing. What would it look like to come alongside people who are experiencing homelessness, people who don't have enough food, adequate education, or equitable employment? Maybe systemic racial injustice, you're done with it. You don't know what to do, but you want to make equitable pathways for people who are experiencing it so that they maybe can have hope at a just future. Listen, I can go on. There are so many different injustices, from social to racial to economic. There's injustices in our climate, in our world, how we treat animals. There are injustices everywhere, and I'm starting to get a little overwhelmed right now. I don't know if you are. And right now, you might be thinking about 10 different things that Black Hawk Church could be doing, but hold up. I'm not talking about that right now. We're trying, and a lot of you are joining in what we're doing. What I'm talking about is what you personally do. When you look up that river and you see what's going on, I know that it's overwhelming. I know it is. I took this picture out of a kid's I Spy book. That's super overwhelming. It's also a throwback to Christmas. It looks like Santa Claus puked. It's fine. There's a lot going on here. It's overwhelming. But will you imagine with me if right now, instead of Christmas decorations and different Christmas things, every injustice in your neighborhood was there? Every injustice in your city was there. Every injustice in your state was there. Every injustice in your country and your world. Right now, we are downloading every single injustice into this picture. I am overwhelmed. Like, how do we even do anything? Are you kidding me? I spy with my little eye someone. We can go back to the last picture. Someone who needs a room. I spy with my little eye someone right there. They don't need much. They just need a kind word. You don't know them. You don't know what they're going through, but they need desperately someone to believe in them. I spy. And so many people are doing this. We can go on. I spy with my little eye a Just Brew. They're brewing coffee for a cause. These are UW-Madison students on Fridays at Upper House. They brew coffee and they sell it to anyone in the public, and 100% of the proceeds, the profits that they make, go to International Justice Mission, where they're trying to end global human trafficking. I spy with my little eye Mo Cheeks. I love Mo. Mo bakes bread for a cause. A lot of his friends gathered together and they started Bread and Justice, and they sell bread and 100% of the proceeds go to different local nonprofits that are trying to make a just society. I've had his bread too, it's really good. I spy with my little eye Blackhawk High School students who make dessert for a cause. A couple of Blackhawk High School students started something called Saranghae Desserts. Saranghae means I love you in Korean. They make and sell desserts, and 100% of the proceeds go to different local nonprofits that are moving towards the most vulnerable. I went to a wedding, and they catered the desserts, and it was really, really good. I spy with my little eye Janet Tupi and some friends who make mittens for a cause. They upcycle wool and make mittens. They started an organization called Remits, and they sell these mittens November and December at a lot of different stores in the Dane County area, and 100% of the proceeds, the profits that they make, they go to different local food pantries. I can go on and on and on and on and on. There are so many people, so many of you who are doing so many great things. And as a church, what would it look like if together we linked arms? You might not have much, a lot's going on, but what's that one thing that you do have? What if we link arms, we join a team, and we look up the river? And together we march up it, we see what's going on, and we say, hey, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. It's this invitation to become I spy with my little eye people. To seek justice. To restore the image of God that's been tarnished by the world and God's children and in his creation. Let's be that people. Let's pray. Jesus, justice is messy. Justice is overwhelming. Justice is complicated. Justice is costly. Justice is hard. Justice can be divisive. Justice is you. Justice is your son. Justice is your word. Justice is what you call us to. Justice is your kingdom. Justice is your hope for humanity. So I pray, God, that we don't just pass by this word, but we hold on to this idea that it's a word that is at your very heart. And that we do a diagnostic in our life, the things that we're involved in and who we hope to be. And God, I pray that we can hope to be people of justice, so that everyone else in the world can look at us and can see what's going on in our city, that it's being more and more like Madison as it is in heaven or wherever you're at, and everyone around can't help but say, I want that. I want that. Amen.
Surrounding me, let it break at your name. Still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, un rey sopla viento en mí que te adora. Cristo, Cristo, la oscuridad tiembla ante Cristo, 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 la oscuridad tiembla ante Cristo, Cristo, no temeré. Shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble.
Scripture gives us this hope. It won't be this way forever. Philippians 2 says, one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Every injustice will be made right. There will be no more tears, no more sorrows. Let's worship him for that.
Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome.
Sing it out.
Your name is alive that the shadows can't
to think about and to pray about as we head out from here. I don't know what God is working in your heart or in your mind right now. Maybe he's given you something that you spy, something very specific. And so even as you leave, have conversations about that. Don't let that pass. Write something down. Think about what it is that you want to do from here. And if you want some ideas, want to hear more about those community partners that we partner with and that there's opportunities to serve with, you can head to blackhawk.church, go to the serve section of the website, and you'll find those community partners there. Here in the room, Jim from the Impact team will also be out at the info desk and would love to talk to you if you have any questions about that. But what are the things that God is laying on your heart in this moment? Well, as we go from here, we're not quite done yet in this room. We got one more thing, so you guys can actually go ahead and grab a seat. We're going to do child dedications in just a moment. We get to come along some families and celebrate them. Everyone online, though, we're going to sign off. Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. We'll see you next week.